Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're back on Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. Of course, this is Earth Day, and the Nature Conservancy has done a study, a look at how global warming or climate change might have an impact on Illinois. And by the year 2100, it could be stark. Average annual temperatures warming 4 to 9 degrees, a month or more of 95 degree plus temperatures, 3 more inches of spring rain, and more flooding. The lead for the Nature Conservancy when it comes to climate change in Illinois is Karen Peterson. She joins us on a phone line now. Karen, welcome.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me today.
I wish you'd brought better news.
I know, if only, but, you know, there is hope.
You said in an article I read that the thing about climate change is that it really doesn't leave anything untouched. Explain that for me.
Well, the impacts of climate change are really broad. And so they, obviously, we have the immediate impacts of climate change that you think of, like precipitation or heat waves, like you were just talking about. But all of those impacts trickle down and have impacts on all of our sectors in Illinois, big sectors like agriculture. It impacts our freshwater resources and public health and our ecosystem. So the ramifications get really complex, and so it really does touch everything in the state.
I want to break some of that down coming up, but first, I also read, and I'm no scientist, Karen. In fact, I'm pretty much scientifically illiterate, but there was a sentence in the Tribune article that says carbon emissions dropped during the pandemic, which would be a good thing, but carbon dioxide levels continued to climb. Can you explain for me that equation and how that works?
Well, in general, emissions have dropped this year, but overall, they're expected to continue increasing. And so I would say that this was a blip, and we have to take a lot of action to still make sure that we actually change our systems and reduce emissions across the economy, because people stopped traveling and stopped moving, and that's really what contributed to a reduction in emissions, but that was only temporary.
So it's as if a glutton had a salad. The salad was nice, but it's not changing the fact that the person eats too much.
Right.
Let's go on the farm. You know, in essence, this is a farm state. I mean, a lot of people in Chicago might argue otherwise, but what is the impact on agriculture here?
Well, the impact on agriculture is huge because, I mean, as you know, farmers are really reliant on dependable weather and dependable climate. And so any change to that can really shift the way they operate. And we, in the report that we put out, we focus a lot on corn and soybeans because that really, those are the dominant crops in this state. They occupy over half of the state's land area. And unfortunately, with climate change, yeah, both crops are projected to face negative impacts. You know, if we start to act on climate change and reduce emissions, those impacts will be less. But you know, given the current trajectory, both crops are really expected to have decreased yield by the end of the century.
And the yield would be decreased because the amount of farmland would be gone, or because the moisture would be increased, the temperature. What would lead to that?
Well, it depends. It's both temperature and precipitation. And obviously, your yield would depend on the year, because even though climate averages are changing, it's still going to vary by year. But for example, corn is really sensitive to drought and extreme heat, especially when they're combined. An extreme drought can drop corn yields by 45%. And so as we see rising temperatures with climate change, it's just inevitable that corn will be stressed by that change. And we do expect that to become more frequent. Likewise, wetter conditions can also impact yields, not as much usually as drought would, but for example, in 2019, which is probably still a year that people remember as extremely rainy, that was a year where it really did prevent a lot of acres from being planted, or farmers had to replant fields that they had already planted, and so that dropped yields too. So both heat and increased rain could hurt farmers.
There are more than a million acres unplanted in 2019 because of the moisture?
It was a devastating year, and it was actually kind of impressive that despite those setbacks, farmers still had pretty good yields that year, but it was still a drop, and there were big implications for farm, for crop insurance that year. A lot of applications for prevented plant acres and replanted acres.
I talked to Tom Skilling not too long ago, it was probably last summer, about the fact that it seems like, you know, a one-inch rain used to be a pretty rare thing around here, but now it seems not that unusual at all. And you write that even a 40% increase in two-inch rains could be coming.
Yes, that's right. I think an interesting thing about the precipitation increases is that they won't necessarily be uniform. So we expect to see an increase in extreme rain days, and like you mentioned, a larger number of two-inch rain days. And so that means more concentrated rain means more flooding, which obviously has impacts for both farmers, as we're talking about, but also urban areas. Urban flooding is a big issue in Illinois and in Chicago, and so that concentrated rain issue is certainly something that will come with climate change and that will be problematic.
Well, let's go into the city then, since you bring it up. And a high number of health facilities in Illinois are in floodplains, which could put them at risk should these big rains come.
Yeah, and that's certainly an issue. And I think if you have a health facility in the flood zone, it's obviously a problem because people may need help during a time of flood. You know, flooding can lead to increased risks of disease from exposure to polluted water or mold, also just injuries that happen during a flood, or people who need medical equipment who get cut off from that supply need to be evacuated to a health center. And so that's obviously a problem. And it flags a major issue that, you know, we hope report raises, which is that adaptation to these climate impacts is critical. And so things like that are issues that need to be addressed, you know, either stabilizing or moving those facilities out of the flood zone so that we don't have an emergency situation on our hands.
You know, and when we think of climate change, I think we think of coastal areas or flooding, maybe the impact on farmers. But what about those of us who just live in a city? I mean, it's going to be much hotter. The hot spells will be longer. The moisture may be increased, leading to more insect infestation and things like that, right? You don't have to live near water or rely on the soil to feel this.
No, you're spot on. And there's no doubt that rising temperatures lead to more severe and frequent heat waves, and that causes heat stress in humans and in urban areas, particularly urban areas where you have a lot of pavement, not a lot of green space, you get what's called the urban heat island effect. And so it just ramps up the temperature in a concentrated way in those areas. And for humans, that can be really problematic because heat stress can cause heat stroke and even heart attacks and lead to really to hospitalization and even death. You know, the Chicago heat wave in 1995 led to over 700 deaths. So it's definitely a risk that needs to be taken seriously. And I would just mention that this is also a question of equity because some communities are at greater risk. There are areas in the city, particularly low-income communities and communities of color, that are in areas that have much less access to green space and a lot more exposure to heat. And so from an equity perspective, we really need to be investing in those communities to help them start to build resilience to climate impact.
As you say, the thing about climate change is that it really doesn't leave anything untouched. Let's leave on a hopeful note. Is there a hopeful note?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. It's what keeps me working on this issue. I think there are so many solutions we can implement. And in particular, if we work together, we can achieve a lot. I mean, this country, when we're unified, we can achieve amazing things. And I think climate change is a key issue that we have to be unified on. If we start to implement the technologies we have and to invest in research and development, we can drive emissions down pretty drastically. And so I think there is hope because if we start to take those actions, we can really avoid a lot of the impacts that this report highlights.
Karen Peterson is the Illinois Climate Change Lead at the Nature Conservancy. It was nice to talk to you. Let's talk again when the subject is brighter.
Yes, that sounds great. And happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. Let's head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.